Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important. The champ is here.
We
touched down
from a higher plane. Why you made it here? We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We about to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're still on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Monday Morning Tight End on Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central Time. I'm Marcus Dash here, legendary Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn. JD, how we doing, brother?
What's going on? What's going on? Hold on, Marcus. Somehow I done got out of.
What's that?
No, I'm still good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seen a lot in our chat already. So we got some comments. Are they finishing their dinners? You know. Sometimes you got to do before these live streams start, guys. And Lewis is in here. Wendy, Vegas Chiefs game. I hope everyone is enjoying their night and enjoying some Monday Morning Tight End with us. And tonight, for the first time, we'll be doing Monday Morning Tight End, a show just about the tight ends. This something this show is named after. We're going to dive into the tight ends tonight. So I'm sure JD is loving that. He's been counting down the hours to talk about his tight ends.
Yeah, hold on, man. I think I got my screen all messed up over here.
I know it. Some technical difficulties.
Yeah, you can see me. I can't see you.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know how that just happened. So.
We'll be going over tight ends tonight. So obviously, Irv Smith Jr. We talked about him a little bit last week. We're gonna be looking at his measurables. Is it fixed, JD?
No, not yet. But I can still talk. I don't need to see myself. I don't need to see you. I know what's going on. I know where the camera is. So what's going on, everybody? How y'all doing? How's everybody out there? I think we seen it earlier. People were talking about, you know, us finishing our dinners. There we go. What's going on? Welcome. How's everybody? Yeah, I'm working out. Tight ends, baby. That's what we do. We figure it all out. So it's going to be a good show for us today. But I'm excited. I get to speak about my position. My boys, my fellows, my bros, and this is going to be something, man. I'm looking to really get into. So it's a good time. It's a great time. So
yeah, go ahead. It's going to be one of those things where we talk about. Obviously, you know what we're doing every episode so far. We've talked about the people who are gone. We're not on our squad anymore. The new guys, and then also looking at who's on the roster for that position group. But you know, saying goodbye to Jody Fortson is going to be a tough one. I know we're both big Jody Fortson fans. So saying goodbye, a final farewell to Jody will be a part of this episode too. So anybody who's get your tissues if you want to say bye to Jody for being a Chiefs Kingdom member. But you know, he was with us for a lot of rings, so he'll always be a Chief for life.
I'll always be a Chief for life, man. I tell you what, man, Jody gave a lot while he was here. Like we were talking about, one of the fan favorites, he was able to transition himself from being a wide receiver to coming to tight end. And it's somewhat a difficult thing depending on what type of offense that you're actually running, right? But what Jody gave was a lot of competitiveness, okay? I think a lot of his playmaking ability, we've seen it. We've seen him shine in games. And I'm talking about just go one-on-one with corners, safeties, linebackers, and win. And so we've seen a spot there that Jody had feel for us because he was a guy that you could put on the field, and it was all about matchups. That's what you see. It's all about matchups. But Jody Forster, man, did a tremendous job for us the time that he was here with us. Hate to see him go. Wanted to see him last year, man, and no telling what this offense could have been with him on it. You know, obviously with the elbow issue and him having to deal with that, it was kind of just one of those things, like kind of writing on the wall, right? Because it's like, okay, what do you do with a guy like this? Do you look to get better, or are you looking to get worse? And so Jody, like I said, he gave something here. I remember going on the show talking to him. Who was that? My man, Harrison. What's his name out there?
Carrington Harrison. You went on
Carrington the show. Harrison. Carrington. Yeah, we got on the show. We was talking about, you know, Jody scoring how many touchdowns, and I think I might have said somewhere around I wouldn't be surprised if he would have got 8 one year. And to be honest with you, I think he might. I don't know how many he had at that year, the time, but he might have got half of those, if I'm not mistaken, possibly.
They scored a touchdown in the first two games of the season that year.
Two games, yeah. And so I don't think it was something that was far-fetched for especially a guy with his type of talent, a caliber of player he was, especially when we seen that he had a role here in this offense, right? And so, like I said, unfortunately, he ended up getting hurt, man. But, yeah. I think he goes down to South Beach down in Miami, and I think he does well. I think he does well down there. I think they're going to feed him the football. You know, obviously, they knew what they was going to get from him. He is going down to be with actually a wonderful tight ends coach who is actually the father of the wide receiver coach in Connor Embry.
And his father, really? He's the tight end coach down there?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Tight ends coach. He is the tight ends coach. He is the assistant head coach, and I think he'll do well. And so if I'm telling you, if John got him down there, who used to be my coach in Kansas City under the Herm Edwards era, he's gonna do a good job. Because John don't pull no punches. And he knows, you know, the barometer of guys that he's coached. And I'm just going to give you a list of guys that he's coached, right? So John Embry has coached Mercedes Lewis, he has coached George Kittle, he has coached Tony Gonzalez, he's coached Jason Dunn, okay, right? And he has coached Mike Gesicki. Gesicki was there. And, you know, that John's going to do a great job. He's a hell of a coach, a hell of a guy. And if he's getting, like I said, if he's getting Jody down there, he knows what he's got in him. Believe me, he knows that. So.
Yes, those are good names. JD, I think I'm hearing myself on your end. Okay, no, I think it's good now. It's good now. Okay. I was for a second. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah. And one thing I'll say about Jody, that's a good opportunity going to Miami because that's a team that really hasn't really had much production from that tight end position since Gesicki. That was like, what, two, three years ago? And so, you know, and that McDaniels offense tight ends is huge. And they really didn't get much from that tight end spot this past year. So maybe he's got a shot. If he can stay healthy, he could be maybe a weapon for them.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, McDaniels, he's going to try to get the ball to, you know, his playmakers. And so Jody's he's a playmaker, right? We understand what you have in the wide receivers, but you needed that pass-catching tight end who's going to be able to make some moves, you know, get up the field, get some yak yards. And to me, it makes sense, right? McDaniels is sitting there looking like, well, shoot, here we have this guy. Jody Forson's coming from Kansas City, who's been in probably the best offense with the best quarterback. And then all of a sudden we get him because he's been under the tutelage of Travis Kelce. His time? Come on, man. That's a win-win for them. So I think this makes sense. That makes a lot of sense to bring in Jody Forson down there in Miami, right? So he's going to be a force to reckon with. And, you know, when we'll play him, you know, when that's going to be, I know he's going to be trying to, you know, get out there and get loose on us, right? Sort of like Tyreek does when he plays us and, you know, but I don't think Jody's is on any type of revenge factor. Jody's just trying to go out there and just ball. So,
yep.
Yeah.
So I looked up. He had two touchdowns that year. He had a touchdown week one against Arizona. Then it wasn't until a few weeks later where he had a touchdown against Tampa Bay. So he had two touchdowns. Yeah,
two touchdowns. But that was on a good track, right? That was on a good track. So
So obviously Jody Fortson is the headliner of the three tight ends that are free agents from our squad. Blake Bell being the belldozer, our guy who comes, our good blocking tight end, a guy who comes in on, does a few QB sneaks and has done some over the years with us. And then Matt Bushman are the to round out our free agent tight ends. JD, obviously, we talked about Jody Fortson, what he's done for us offensively, the red zone. And Blake Bell's been one of those steady guys throughout the years in Kansas City. Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit more about Irv Smith, but do you think the Blake Bell experience is over in Kansas City?
You know what? It's too early to say, but with the signing of Irv Smith Jr., I do believe it is coming to an end. And the reason I just say that is if you have guys with similar skill sets, especially at that position, right, where you don't have, you're not going to carry four or five tight ends on the roster. You're just not going to do it. I think it might be coming to an end, man, seriously. And Blake Bell's done a tremendous job the time that he's been here. With the Chiefs, like you said, somebody who's been consistent, somebody who's been a staple of what we did offensively. You know, we don't know. We don't know what the future is going to hold right now as far as with Blake Bell at this moment. Just talking about his contribution with the Chiefs, I mean, he's three-time, you know, Super Bowl winner. So that's the thing about it with Blake Bell. And he's fit in the room with Travis Kelce during this time. And so he's etched himself out as that being a guy to be the blocking tight end. And he's done a pretty good job of that. So we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see, right? And so if he hasn't gotten signed, who's to say? Like, hey, the Chiefs may be like, hey, let's bring you back, see what this is going to look like. To me, Irv Smith is like that one, like I said before, are you getting better? Are you getting worse? Are you moving forward? And I think this with this sign of Irv Smith is an indication of moving forward, okay, with guys. And they want to make sure that they're going to use him, get his reps. Whose reps is he going to take? Well, naturally, I think it's going to be Blake Bell, right? I don't think he's going to come in and take Noah Gray. Now, he might eat it to Noah Gray some of the stuff that Noah does, right? Since Noah's a smaller type of tight end, now he could put Irv Smith kind of in the backfield doing some things, okay? So we'll just have to see it, man. We'll just have to see. So
I think what looking at the Fortson and Bell right there, I think Irv Smith's a nice combo between the two of them. And you know, when it comes down to training camp time, we're talking about some cutdown days, we don't have to carry four tight ends anymore, right? We can say, hey, like, we have a guy who can do a little bit of both of two guys who are gone now, and we can carry another spot in another position. You know, we carry an extra running back, carry an extra receiver, carry an extra D lineman. So that kind of gives us the flexibility as far as roster with having Irv Smith, who can do a little bit of both what Fortson and Bell brought.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing, though, too. You know, depending on how you're using that third tight end, or if you do carry another guy, he's got to be a special teams guy. He's a guy that's not – he's on every special team that you have, right? Punt return, kick return, punt cover, field goal. I mean, you name it. He's got to be that guy. And so he's got to be stellar what he's doing playing special teams if he wants to make the roster. So it's not like they're just going to give a guy, like I said before, I keep saying it again, this is not a popularity contest. You know, we might like you, but the Chiefs got to love you to put you out there on the field. So that's how those things work, right? So.
Looking at, I mean, and Bell played for us 2019, then he went to Dallas, and then he ended up coming back to us the following year. So, I mean, like, just to say, I mean, he's a free agent doesn't mean he's not going to come back. But, you know, that was also 5 years ago, and he's 5 years older now. So it's like, you know, it's the name of the game, you know, to get younger and cheaper, you know. So,
hey, man, I tell you what, I told you this, and Will Shields was absolutely correct. Every day that you're in the NFL, they always try to replace you. If they can replace you, they're going to try to do it, right? With better talent and cheaper. So,
yeah. I was watching the Dynasty documentary on Apple, the Patriots one, which is great. It gives you a good insight as to how the players thought of Belichick. But there was a thing there. And obviously, every locker room has an element of this, and like you said. But mm-hmm. with Patriots specifically, guys wanted to get back out there as fast as possible because with Belichick – he didn't care. If you could produce for that game, he didn't give a crap. Like, you know, Brady was scared, you know, after the whole Deflategate suspension. He thought, you know, Jimmy G was going to take that job. Jimmy G gets hurt, Brissett goes in. But, I mean, like, he thought, like, he wanted to get back as soon as possible because you never know with Belichick. One day to the next, you're out. I want him as my starting guy. So, like, there's an element of that in every locker room, of course, like you said. But, yeah, it's interesting just the kind of no job safe, even with the GOAT quarterback and Brady. No guy thinks their job's safe.
Hey, man, and that's the way it should be. Matter of fact, if you've gotten comfortable, then you best be looking. Somebody is clipping at your heels, ready to take your job. And sometimes guys are like, hey, well, I didn't know this guy was coming up. Well, you should have. Shoot, your butt should have got comfortable. Because when you start getting comfortable, getting complacent, that's when you start to get replaced. And coaches see it. They're like, oh, okay, he's arrived. So some jokers who just somewhat make the team, and then you get there and you just take a sigh of relief, like, guess what? Get up out the seat. This is somebody else's. So don't ever do that. Don't ever take a sigh of relief, Marcus. Okay. Don't ever do it. All right.
Always be on my A game. Always.
That's it. There you go, baby. That's how it should be. Yeah,
and we rounded our free agent tight ends with Matt Bushman, a tight end who got a lot of hype during training camp. I remember everyone was like saying, "Oh man, this guy Bushman's pretty solid." I had a few good training camps with us from BYU. I believe he was on the active roster for the Super Bowl because he was on the active roster for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, he's a free agent. We're gonna talk about the other tight ends we have in the room right now. If we're not bringing him back, we're bringing two other people in. It might seem like they may be done with the Matt Bushman experiment. Another guy, who knows? We didn't really get to see much of him beyond preseason games in the four quarters of those games. So, So did he do anything? I mean, obviously, you're always watching the tight ends preseason-wise. Did he do anything that stood out to you that was like, oh, man, okay, he's got something? I'm not trying to knock the guy. I'm just asking.
No, I mean, look – usually you have BYU tight ends, man. They run great routes and they catch the football well. You know, that's what you know you're going to get because of the type of offense that they run. And so he looked like a typical, prototypical BYU tight end. You know, not blow you out the water in any way, like, you know, athletically going to do something that's just going to wow you. But he was a solid guy. He's a solid guy. He can make anybody's roster just because of, you know, his consistency. You know he's going to be able to come in and make catches, make some blocks. But he had flashes. I seen him. I was just like, okay, it's Bushman kid, man. Looks like he's all right. But when you play in the NFL and you got Travis Kelce and then Noah Gray and then Blake Bell, it's like, who are you going to beat out? Mm-hmm. Who are you beating out? So that's how that thing works, man. That's how that thing works. So if you know, Matt Bushman finds a home somewhere else, you know, good for him. Good for him. They'll get a good guy. So,
yeah. Yeah. Not much, but I don't see much Matt Bushman loving here. I see a lot of people are you know, sad about Bell leaving. And obviously, yeah. And that's that one thing I've noticed in doing the, like looking at the departures when we've done our episodes the last few weeks. You know, people have this kind of this bond with the guys who've been on the team for these Super Bowl runs. And, you know, people don't want to see certain guys go sometimes. And, you know, it's just, if people just get attached. We all get attached to the guys who've been on us for success, you know, and we, you know, just mm-hmm. tough to see some guys go. I don't think Matt Bushman gets that. I think Blake Bell's more of that guy. You know, he's been our QB sneaker over the last 5 years. I mean, come on.
It's almost like, you know, like, uh-oh, here it comes. Watch the trick play. Watch the sneak. And no.
So. We need to get Irv Smith on the show to ask him if he's got any experience with QB sneaks, because that might be his job going forward.
Yeah, we had to see. We had to find out.
All right, so talking about Irv Smith. So Irv Smith's our newest signing, one of the few guys besides Hollywood Brown who is a guy that's we're not bringing him back. There's a new guy fresh to Kansas City. So we signed him to a one-year deal worth $1.29 million. He's a young guy, man, 25 years old, second-round pick out of Alabama in 2019. So what, 5 years ago? Yeah, so he was a young buck when he came out of college at age 20. I mean, he's an athletic beast. I mean, the guy's built like a Greek god. I mean, if you look at that guy, he looks like, I mean, like you say, he looks like a bodybuilder. 6'2", 240. His dad was a tight end in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And went to Notre Dame and stuff. So, I mean, and he follows us on Twitter. He retweeted the video we had the other day. But, I mean, we talked about the other day, but like, what is he going to bring to this room? I know we talked about him having a combo of the blocking element, being able to produce offensively for us. Well, what does he bring to this room that we just haven't had from the other guys that we've had with the Blake Bells and the Jody Fortsons?
I think really, man, the athletic ability, like you see him right here, man, just going up to go get a ball. So they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. Well, there's one right there, right? And so when you're talking about somebody who athletically jumps off the screen on you on film, you know, it shows up. And so that's what they wanted to get. Not saying that Noah Gray can't do those things and give those things to you, but Irv Smith, the reason he was a first round tight end is because of his athletic ability, what he did when he was down there at Alabama. And so when you go through and you can look at his highlights, check his highlights out. Okay. He matches up well against a linebacker and a safety and even a corner. And so he's one of those guys that you go one-on-one and it's a good matchup. He can body him up. He can absolutely just muscle him down and catch the football. And he does a good job catching his hands. He got strong hands. You can see when he snatches the ball and he squeezes it. So that's what you want to be able to see. He's not a body catcher by no means. And so it's really great to see a tight end who doesn't mind putting his hands out there to catch the football, right? Instead of coming into his body. And so Irv Smith Jr., he has that about him. And so any team will love to have it. And I think some of our questions are, well, how come he didn't strive up there in Minnesota and then, of course, in Cincinnati, right? The thing, he's had a couple of injuries. But look, I understand this. For somebody who came out, who, you know, I'm going to toot my own horn real quick and pat my own back, who had athletic ability out the wazoo, okay? I ran a 4.49, 40-inch vertical, bench press 225 30 times. My athletic ability was my calling card. And so it was almost like all the coaches, even like when I was regulated here as more of the blocking tight end in Kansas City, all the other coaches would tell you, man, look, JD, hey, I'm telling you, bad boy. When I'm athletically, shoot, JD could do it all. And I could. Didn't matter who I had on me, I'd burn you. And it was the thing about it. So two knee surgeries. Could derail you from what you thought you was going to be, okay? And so I just let the kid from California catch all the footballs. He turned up to be a pretty good guy. So, now, you know, the thing is, it was a great compliment between us two, right? And so I'd have to stretch the field like I was in Philadelphia. You know, Tony was able to do it. Irv can do those things. Irv can stretch the field. And so we have a guy like Travis Kelce to stretch the field. Get open anytime you want to. If we need to put 12 personnel, 13 personnel, Irv could come in and he could give you some of that. He really can. And so I'm seeing it. He makes diving catches. He can do things, man, get up there. He could climb the ladder, go get it. So I don't think he's limited to anything he can do, Marcus. That's what we're going to get that we haven't necessarily had here. Maybe say like with a Blake Bell or like the blocking aspect, like a Jody Forson. Jody can get up there and do all those things. Is he bodying guys up and just throwing guys, you know, just busting them up? Irv is that guy for that. So,
yeah, and obviously, like you mentioned, he's had so far throughout his career, he's got a kind of injury plagued career so far, and he's had bad luck, man. That's the one thing that it's obviously injuries are, for the most part, they are bad luck. Like, you know, 2021. September 1st, it was revealed that Smith underwent surgery to repair a torn meniscus, which prevented him from playing for the entire 2021 season. 2022, he went on November. He went on IR after suffering an ankle injury. I mean, he had a really hot start that year. But look at his numbers, man. And then last year with Cincinnati, he suffered a hamstring injury during week three, which kind of hindered him throughout the season. So, like, that's three different injuries throughout a short career that he's had so far. But just look at his numbers. So he got 2019 to 2023. He's got a collection of 10 touchdowns in that time period. And I'm looking at, I mean, talking about Noah Gray, for example, right? Because that's the competition for the number two spot, you know, essentially. Yeah. Noah Gray's got four touchdowns, and that's through three. That's from 2021 to 2023. Irv Smith has four touchdowns, and Irv Smith in one of those years in 2020 he had five touchdowns alone in that season. So this guy's got capabilities there. It's just all about staying on the field.
Man, he's a red zone machine. And so where did we suffer last year? Red zone.
Yep.
Right. And so to me, this is the answer to some of those problems and issues. So when you have kind of like the smaller guys, right? Wide receivers and whatnot. Rashee Rice is one, Travis Kelce is another, but then you bring Irv Smith in, okay? Big body, you don't know if they're going to run it in or they're going to pass it in. Irv can do those things. As we see in some of the videos, Irv's one-on-one with a corner or safety, and he beats him. Touchdown, Irv Smith. And so when you see that type of contribution, that productivity in the red zone, he's going to be a nightmare for guys down there. So you better take an assessment of this guy, you know, because you start slipping on him, man, he'll put up six on you. So don't be that guy, right? Okay. He gets you fired. That's what we talk about, guys getting fired because of things like that, you know. Yeah. So,
and I think with having Kelce as the main guy, and like he was probably splitting duties last year when he got hurt week three. I mean, Drew Sample wasn't, you know, they had Drew Sample there. It's like, okay, none of those guys was a certified tight end one. There was definitely competition for those reps, so it was kind of a split reps probably. I haven't watched a lot of Cincinnati film, but I'm just guessing. But when he comes here, it's not going to be that, right? He's going to come in situationally. So I think we can kind of maybe not see him, you know, play a lot, but when he does play, they're meaningful snaps, and we're, you know, maybe not susceptible that much to injury because he won't be playing as much as he had been playing. So I think we can, you know, pick our spots to utilize a guy like this.
Well, okay. I do believe that one of the reasons you're bringing Irv Smith in is because he'll be able to give Kelce some rest. Okay? You know, this whole not to do about nothing when Travis Kelce pushed on Andy Reid about not being in the game on the goal line or the run play? Well, Irv can go in there to do that. You don't have to worry about anybody else being in there. Let Irv do it. And that's something that Trav, like, man, shoot, Irv can do those things. I got no problem doing that. Trav can take his helmet off and sit over by Andy Reid. They could, you know, buddy each other, nudge each other while Irv's in the game. And so this is just, to be honest with you, this is to give Travis significant rest when he needs it. Because here's the reality, okay? And I think we need to get into this. I think we really need to talk about this right here. You know, because everybody talked about Travis was slowing down last year. He lost a step and this and that and whatnot. We have to realize that there's a possibility. And even if it didn't happen, I don't think he slowed down. You know, but he was wore out. He definitely was wore out. And because of that was maybe the lack of productivity from the wide receiver position. Okay, let's just be real. Let's be honest here, all right? We're just going to be honest, okay? Full stop. So if you want Travis Kelce to be here for another 1 to 2 years, I said he'll be here at least two, if not three, right? To get a three-peat and maybe even more. Then you have to have a guy that comes in and gives him significant rest, okay? Noah Gray is one thing. Well, who's going to replace Noah Gray? So you still need that production out of two tight ends. It's still, you know, you're not going to drop off that much. And so that's why you bring in a guy like Irv Smith, who runs great routes, who knows how to find himself in space, right? That's fluid hips, athletic, can run guys over, jump over guys. Irv has all that about him. And so you can pick and choose to take Travis out. Travis doesn't have to play the whole game. Travis don't have to be beat down. Now everybody have to say, oh, Travis has lost his step and all. Hey, man, Irv can come in and can do that. He can give you valuable reps, right? And I know, you know, spot, pick, and choose, but there's going to be times like, hey, Kelsey, come out of the game. When we need you, we'll need you, okay? Other than that, Irv comes in, gets some good reps. And so I think that's how it plays out. That's the way it should be. So the problem goes in when you don't have, like Blake Bell, love him to death, okay? But he's not going to give you Travis Kelce reps, all right? He's not. Irv is a little bit more valuable, okay? Has a little bit more of that athletic ability to be able to accomplish that. So I think that's their thinking, right? If you bring a guy in, let him be a guy that can give reps, significant reps, for Travis Kelce. One of the guys that we talked about who actually went to Cincinnati, we said him earlier, was Mike Gesicki. We said Mike Gesicki could catch the football, right? He catch, run great routes, fast, does all that. Gesicki ain't put his hands on nobody, though. He ain't going to look. Look, Gesicki is a very talented tight end. He is not going to put his hands on anybody, okay? That's one of the reasons he's not in Miami anymore. He went up there to New England for 1 year, all right? 1 year. The reason was because down in Miami, he was turning down physicality like it was going out of style. Let me be honest here. So Irv ain't going to do that. So the tats and all that mean something. They better mean something. You got all them tattoos on there. Better do something. I think Irv is. Look, his pops was somebody who was going to go in and block. So Irv got that in. We see a dog in him, man. Yeah. He is that guy. There's no doubt about it. When I watch him, like I said, when he came out, I was watching it because I knew he was going to be a beast. I knew he was going to be an animal out there, man. So sometimes it is those things when you get hurt, slows you down. It just slows you down. It's going to be a good home for him. It's going to be a great home for him. So we'll see, man, how everything is going to work, man. But that's the significance of signing Irv Smith, is to take valuable snaps for Kelce also, too.
He made an interesting comment when he was at his presser last week when he signed officially. Mm-hmm. Obviously, winning was a big part of coming over here, obviously. but then he also, the usage of the tight ends in Kansas City was a big reason. His quote, with Kansas City, the history they have using the tight ends, running a lot of 12 personnel, 13 personnel, using multiple tight end sets, being able to get behind a guy like Travis and learn from him and pick his brain with anything and just win football games. That's my favorite thing to do, is be a part of winning teams and helping teams win. Whatever I've got to do to help this team win games and succeed, I'm going to do my part. So I thought that was the winning aspect's great, but then also, you know, noticing the usage of the tight end groups in that team, it's like, man, like, I want to be part of that.
So you're going to get the football. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, look, if I know that your tight ends is going somewhere that you're going to get the football thrown to you, hey, welcome to Kansas City, yep. Right? Welcome to Kansas City. So, yeah, no, there's no doubt about it, man. He knew what he was doing. This is a good signing for him, and this is a great relationship between him and the Chiefs. So Wendy says Chris Jones looked a little tired last season. Also, he's in great shape, but he needs more cardio. So we talked about this also, Marcus. Chris is in great shape. He don't necessarily need more cardio. He needs a break for when he goes out, somebody's able to come in and not lag on what's going on, right? You don't need no drop off. So when we seen the championship game, Big Red like, hey man, we need you, Chris. Right? Chris like, man, just give me a minute. Just give me one. Right? And so guys could get worn down if other people may not be, you know, producing like they should, okay? Or Chris is as dominant as he is. And so he's taking on double teams. That's why I would say, man, if he's taking two guys on, okay, throwing them guys around, everybody else around him need to eat. Okay? Everybody else around him need to get pressure. And so I've said this, we talked about getting a compliment to Chris Jones on the inside. And we brought some guys back, no doubt about it, right? We got some guys here that is going to be able to show up. I still think we need to address that defensive tackle in the draft. Okay. Somebody who's going to be stellar, somebody who just, when I'm talking about, jumps off the screen at you. I think that's what we still need. We need a superhero on another defensive tackle, right? That joins in the room, that just makes that room that much better. That much better. Okay. So
especially it's all about, especially with the man who plays a little bit of DT and DN, and he's not going to be there for who knows how long. I mean, you definitely need something there.
You definitely need something there. You definitely need something there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a question from Kathy. Yeah, JD, how they are and are on short off seasons?
That's right. Yeah.
Rest and recuperation.
Yeah. How they rest and recuperate on short off season. Yeah. They, you know, the thing is when you're doing it, trying to recuperate as much as possible. When you're doing it and you try to take it in, it's very important, okay, that guys are doing what they need to do to get themselves up. Like, you know, playing at a high level, man, costs a lot. But guys can do it. But when you are being worn down, okay, because more is asked of you, right? And sometimes, you know, these guys, they don't mind giving it. They don't mind giving it at all. They could slow you down. They could take some things out of it. So these are things we have to address. We have to address, yeah, that, you know, Travis Kelce is another year older, okay? Travis Kelce may be looking for retirement in the next couple of years, 2 or 3 years. And so we want to keep him like that. We want to keep him rested. We want to keep him, you know, upbeat. We want to keep him healthy. And so when he came in, you know, his knee issue, very first of the season, these things happen. Let's take those off of him. Let's take those hits off of him. That's why it was important to go get wide receiver, you know, like Marquise Brown. Hollywood's going to be able to take, look, he helps out on the offense a lot, a lot. A lot of it's taking the pressure off Kelce and even making it easier for Patrick Mahomes. So that's why you make moves that way. You got to make moves to get better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and if you look at our two non-guys we brought back from our squad, Hollywood Brown and Irv Smith, no coincidence, they're weapons for the offense. So trying to make things easier for Pat, as well as taking some not letting Kelce have to carry the whole load offensively too. So, yeah, I like where our head's at so far this offseason.
Oh, yeah. Donna says the guys played the extra season, just playoff games, in addition to regular. Great point. Absolutely. Yeah. No doubt about it. Yeah, shortens everything up. Like you said, it shortens – you know, restaurant, you know, recuperating. It does shorten this up.
Yeah, that's why you and I talked to a topic last year was the dynasty fatigue, not being able to, you know, playing, and never getting any time off.
Yeah. But I think with these guys, so when you have that, you've done it so much that becomes the norm. You know, it's almost like your body starts to adjust to these things. You know, so with us, man, the Chiefs, you know, their body's starting to adjust to, like, hey, we're going to play longer games than everybody else. That's why we just blowing everybody out the water. That's why the Chiefs are so good, right? Yeah. You can almost say that's why New England was so good, right? So,
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go to – I saw Wendy asking about Isaiah Gathing. So, Wendy, we got him coming up here. I know you've talked about – she specifically has talked about Isaiah Gathing a lot. So she's psyched about a newcomer. But anyway, so looking at our tight ends on the roster, the cap hits going into this coming season, you obviously got Travis Kelce, $15.4 million, worth every penny, probably worth a lot more than that, is worth a lot more than that. Noah Gray, $3.1 million cap hit. Irv Smith Jr., about a $1.1 million cap hit. Then we got some new guys here. Garrett Prince, who we added to the roster about summer 2023 from UAB. About 6'2", 241 guy. He is 6'4", 241, sorry. And then Isaiah Gathings is a receiver. He was a receiver at Middle Tennessee State and now is a tight end in Kansas City. Pretty much sounds a lot like a guy like Jody Fortin, who was receiver and then went to becoming a tight end. This guy, 6'4", 220. So this is a kind of a playmaker type of guy that we can maybe see, maybe might have some juice, like Jody Fortson type juice with him. But JD, when you look at our tight end room, obviously I don't think we're going to carry all these guys going into the season on the active roster, but what do you think of the top to bottom room that we have right now? And do you think we'll be adding a rookie or a tight end? Cause a lot of people are saying go get a rookie tight end, maybe the top three rounds of the draft to, you know, have Kelce take under his wing?
I'm happy with the room where it is. I like it, but I do believe there are some guys, some sneaky tight ends out here right now. They're very, very talented, very athletic, catch the football really well. Somebody sent me a couple of guys, and I looked and I was like, oh wow. Like you can catch a good tight end. I had to go back through who this guy was, but he's easily could have been a third or fourth round pick. And he has all the measurables that you need to be an effective tight end. Does really well one-on-one, does really well on zone. So you could definitely go and draft a tight end. Absolutely. You know, because I think you have to think about who's going to be the heir apparent to Kelce. Right? So I don't think it's far-fetched at all to go get a tight end in maybe the top three rounds, okay? Or even four if you think you found somebody who can do that. First off, we got to think in our mind that nobody's going to be able to replace the productivity as a Travis Kelce, okay? It's just – Travis Kelce is just one of those talents that comes along every once in a while, okay? Chiefs just happen to have the two best tight ends to ever play the game. It's the Kansas City Chiefs, okay? And so that's what happened there. But if you get a guy that can learn, like Noah Gray has learned under Travis, he's gotten better catching the football. He was good when he was at Duke, but he's learned a whole lot from Travis, okay? He's learned how to get on the same page now with Patrick Mahomes. And so you bring a young guy in, teach him all the ropes of what he needs to do. He'll feel right, you know, really good in this room. He really could. Just depends on who it is. That's what it boils down to. So I'm not opposed to getting a guy in the draft at all. The thing is, I think Travis would let the team know when he's like thinking like, look, this may be my last year. This may be my time. If they haven't had this conversation at all, period. So we'll just have to see. But yeah, I getting a tight end in the draft, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. If it's the right fit, the right guy. So.
Definitely, I don't want us to reach for a tight end just because, you know, we sense that the end is near. But you bring up a good point. Kelce's definitely talked to them about it. Because if we're talking about trying to win three-peat or four-peat, you know, trying to win more and more, I don't think Kelce's going to leave if we go three-peat as a chance of going to a four-peat. And I think Kelce's definitely going to be in constant communication with our guys because, look, if I'm saying I'm going to give you three more years, then you don't need to rush to go get a tight end right now. You don't need to have to think of the exit strategy with me. Use those picks on stuff we need because you got me for the next 2 to 3 years, right? So, like, if you see a guy you really like, go for it. But don't reach at my expense because I'm going to give you 2 to 3 more years. So, like, I hope they are having that open communication, and probably – they definitely are based on how close this team is.
Well, if you get a guy now, if you see a guy that you say, hey, man, this guy right here has a lot to him that you can get, you go ahead and take a ticket on him. You know, I mean, the reason I say that is because it gives him 2 years. I'm just saying two for Travis. It gives him 2 years to learn under Travis, right? And then you still have that guy, that young guy, for another 2 years. And you still have Noah Gray and, you know, those things. So if you're trying to develop that, because Noah Gray be coming up, I think he comes up,
I think next year.
Next year, yeah. So. You know, and then Irv Smith only signed a 1 year deal. So
Drew Tranquil gives us a beautiful example of, let's say Irv Smith finally is healthy throughout a whole season.
Yeah.
Ray's gone. Hey, Irv, stay here for a 2-3 year deal. Why not?
Sure. We hope he's answer.
Yeah.
Dude, he comes back and he's looking, you know, like he had been doing, you know, the best of what he's been doing. Sure. Irv is a starter in the league.
Only 25 too. That's the thing. It's like, I feel like he's being for so been in the league for a while that you think like, oh, he's like 20. He's like 28. I mean, no, he's 25. So like, if he finally is done with the injury bug and he's healthy and everything, he can show that he can be healthy for a whole season. Like, okay, there you go. There's the tight end.
Yeah, and the thing is, a guy that can run every route. Run every route. He stays healthy. He can be here. Like. this is the best place you could possibly be as a tight end, because who you got throwing the ball to you? Well, it's Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the business. And Irv is sitting there saying, like, I'm going to a place that I know the tight end is getting a whole lot of balls. So if I come in and learn the system, learn what Travis is doing, and I get my body back where it needs to be, and hopefully I stay healthy through all of this entire time, this entire year, this can absolutely revamp my career. Who's to say, you know, how these things operate, how they work? You know, nobody can see the future. So, yeah, man, I think it's a good move for the Chiefs to pick and getting a guy in here. So,
yeah, I'm looking here. Yeah, you know, Gray is a free agent next year. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. It's I've seen this draft, like we talked about before. It's not as deep as last year's tight end draft. I still think we should have gone with one of those tight ends that the Green Bay took, but well, you know, we can't go back in time anymore.
Yeah.
But Isaiah Gavins is an interesting one that when Wendy's asked about it quite a few times. Let's talk about overall about the transition from receiver to tight end and how much of a project that can be, JD. Because I know a lot of people think like, oh, these guys don't block anyway. You know, for the most part, the tight ends become a glorified. It's pretty much just a big receiver. You know, so like, kind of talk about how that can be something you have to learn and kind of transition into.
Hey man, look, nothing can be more disrespectful than thinking that playing tight end is just an easy thing to do. Okay, so I'm here to tell you. So I'm gonna tell you all the ways, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
One is you got to be physical. Okay, you either got in, or you don't. All right, and then you're gonna do some inline blocking. Then you better get ready to get your nose bloody. Okay, and then if you had to lead and lead block, or you had to block maybe a defensive tackle sometimes on the crack back or defensive end, you better have some weight in your pockets as well, or you don't get embarrassed to get tossed around. That's the thing about it. When you see it on the outside, somebody trying to gather the outside catcher that corner, and he's not able to do it, you will be embarrassed. Everybody's going to be able to see it, especially guys like me. I'm going to see it. As a former tight end and as a coach, I'm going to be able to see it. So you ain't going to be able to hide. It don't work that way. And so if you're trying to lead up inside, if you're in the backfield, you will get your neck short and quick. You will find out. You will find out if you're made for this. So trying to make a transition from playing outside where you got somebody in space to now being, you know, somebody in your face now, putting your hands on somebody is totally different. All right? Those guys out there on the corner, man, they eat lettuce and, you know, fries. Okay? They ain't eating a whole lot. Cakes and all of those different things, man. They ain't got no weight in them. They ain't in the weight room. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Ain't nobody going to hit you in the mouth out there. They going to talk a big game. Ain't nobody going to hit you in the mouth as a corner. All right? Making fun of my corners out there, man. We might be seeing it. What? When I'm talking about a linebacker and defensive ends who's got muscles everywhere, sucker's got muscles on his neck and in his head. You see him look at him? Steam coming off? He's trying to kill you. Okay? He's trying to kill you. And I tell you what, like any other dogs, big dogs going to eat. They going to see. They going to find out if your heart pumps Kool-Aid or not. You're going to find out real quick, okay, if you made it up for this. And so defensive ends will hit you in your throat. I'm telling you. We're telling guys this all the time. And you know it. Breath be stinking. It's a whole different animal. It's a whole different animal inside that box. Whole different animal inside that box. So you better make sure. Better make sure. Muscles and eyebrows like Mike Tyson. Muscles and eyebrows like Mike Tyson. Absolutely. So you ain't got to worry about these guys coming in with the little halter tops, showing their little abs, because you're supposed to have abs at 180 pounds. Okay? All right? I'm talking about jokers who are 300 with abs. All right? Okay? Who can lift up the whole weight room. You understand? And so when you're a receiver and all of a sudden you think you can put your hand in the dirt and you sitting there look like you in a frog stance, because sometimes when you start looking at guys like, oh, man, hold on, I got to work on your stance first. You're going to get killed out here, all right? I got to explain to everybody what happened to you. So you got to make sure that a guy is right and he's fit to come in there because his life is on the line. You gonna know real quick who you are. So that's what I say, man. Don't think for a second it's just gonna be an easy job.
So in essence, Gathings is a project. So now I'm looking at the measurables here, almost identical to Jody Fortson, 6'4", 222. He's 6'4", 222. Jody is 6'4", 226. So pretty much identical to Jody Fortson in that. And Jody, I mean, you know, he was kind of a project. I mean, with us, but before he finally got on the team and stuff, so it was a big deal when he made the team finally. So like, I mean, there is going to be an element of Gathings having to kind of gain his bearings in that tight end position.
It's a real deal, man. I'm trying to tell you, and you got to know if your back is built for it, you better get in the weight room real quick. You know, you're in the backfield, and you run, you know, a couple of wheel routes, and you know, on the safety, that's fine. That's the easy job. That's the easy part. But like I said, when you sit over and you're looking up, you know, somebody on the end, and you got, you know, Crosby and all those guys, T.J. Watt and those dudes hitting you in your mouth, it's a totally different thing. There's a whole different headache right there. So, I if I was somebody, I'd take the little guys outside all day long to go, you know, fight against.
Right? So, all right. So, in essence, we're going to have to see what Gallings can show us in preseason next year.
Yeah, we have to see, man. We have to see.
Like, I'm sure because we hear that a lot. Like, I think it was like last year when Philadelphia signed Julio Jones. Oh, just make him a tight end. Just make him a tight end. I mean, like, it's that easy just to make a guy a tight end. It's got to be insulting to hear that.
Man, look. Love Tim Tebow to death. But that whole journey that they was trying to make Tim Tebow into a tight end, I thought was just disrespectful because I was just like, they have no idea how hard it is. When he came in and did the little roll and tried to get the guy on the ground, like, man, he missed the block. Like, it's not that easy. It's not an easy job to do. So I just thought, oh, man, he looks great. Oh, it looks like a block. That looks like a technique block. Somebody tried to, like, somebody literally tried to argue with me about the block that he did was technically sound. And I said, the type of block that happened that he did, did he try to perform? He tried to attempt, will get somebody killed. That'll get somebody hurt, right? That'll get somebody hurt. Isaiah, he should be good then. Yeah, Isaiah should be good. We'll see. We'll definitely see. I hope he's good. I hope he comes in. I hope because it's will and want to. It's what it is, Marcus. If you want to block somebody who's bigger than you, you want to hit somebody in the mouth, it's will and want to. That's what it boils down to, right? It's like you on the schoolyard, a big bully in front of you, and that sucker keeps picking on you. It's a will and a want to swing back at this joker. Are you that guy? Okay? Now, you've done it one time. Now I'm going to line you up. I want to keep seeing you do it over and over again. Keep swinging at the bully. Keep swinging at it. Yeah, you might have your butt handed to you. Toss that at the club every once in a while. Get back up, dust yourself off, and get your butt back in there. That's the way it should be. Now I feel like I'm coaching. Now I feel like I'm coaching now. So,
right. From a coach's perspective, though, they obviously see something in him that could be, okay, we can make the conversion there. Because, like, why would – I mean, obviously, maybe not be as fast to be a wide receiver in the NFL. They could say, okay, maybe we can put you at a tight end spot. You got to get, you know, got to get you more, like, add some weight to you a little bit. But, like, they obviously see something, right, that, like, okay, we can maybe try to make the conversion there.
Yeah. Well, part of it is it's the matchup. I think it's what coaches see. They covet that. So it's like you're too big to be a wide receiver. And like if you're not fast enough, well, let's move you inside then. How about that? How do you match up against linebackers and safeties as opposed to corners? If you're not getting open, you're not getting separation, then let's put you inside so you can get separation on some guys. And you're just going to out athletic guys, right? You might be quicker than linebackers, okay? And so I think that's what they see. They see a guy like that. So he's like that tweener, right? We talk about tweeners. So it's the same thing when you look at defensive ends. And we talk about Mike Dana and Aaron, all those different ones. Warrington and you know, Aminahu. Those guys can play in two different worlds, okay? Mm-hmm. Are you effective in playing those two different worlds? And so Chris, who made a transition from one inside to the outside, he can do both, right? Coach's like, man, let's see what he can do out here. I thought it was a great thing. right? People, that's a bad experiment. So why? Shoot, let him get used to it. Because when he start getting out there, he's going to start eating once he start figuring these things out. And so would a guy like Isaiah Gavins or Gavins, whatever you say his name, he may be able to figure those things out. He may be figuring those things out. But let's just not think that, you know, playing tight end is some type of, field day, because it's not, right? Now, obviously, the way the offense is going right now, it's a passing league. So it's making it easier for a guy who's a wide receiver becoming a tight end. Yep. Easier,
but not a gimme by any means. Make sure you guys know that, people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so pretty much the bottom line is Kelce, Gray, and Irv Smith are the three guys to be looking at this year. And Irv Smith, I'm really excited about that that addition to the squad.
Yeah, me too.
But all right, guys, that comes to the end of our Monday morning tight end show about tight ends. So Wednesday night, JD and I'll be back on kind of talking at length about the Hollywood Brown signing. I know, JD, we talked about it last week, the potential of it after he liked our tweet. And now we're going to be talking about what he can actually bring now that he is in-house. And we can also talk about what he said this press conference today. Lots of things to be excited about with what's to come in the squad. I just want to fast forward to September.
patience. All right. These guys still got to get ready. They still got to develop. Still got to get that rapport with Patrick Mahomes. But I do believe we know it's gotten better. Just with his presence alone, his signing. And I was ecstatic. I was like, there it is. We got it. Right? So I love it.
Yeah, and apparently Hollywood said during his interview today that he actually works out in Texas in the offseason. So it's perfect for him to just go meet up with Mahomes at the TCU facilities.
Absolutely. Yeah, right up the street, man. Boys going to go and have a good time. They're going to have a good time. And I'm here for all of it, man. I'm here to buy the ticket to see it all front row to see what this thing is going to look like. And now we even talk about tight ends, Irv Smith involved too. So when you hear his name catching footballs, scoring touchdowns, it's going to be even good. Hey, give a love to our guy, Noah Gray, as well. I know we was talking about it. Shoot, Noah as well. So, yeah. But yeah, man. Appreciate everybody coming in, man. Great show. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate having you, John, Wendy, Kathy, everybody else who's in here. So. Like always, Donna, I always appreciate you. Always. So
yeah, and we hope everybody enjoyed our trivia show last night. We got a lot of good love from that on social media yesterday. And, you know, try and change up a little bit. The off season, we can sprinkle in little things in there like that. Trivia nights, Chiefs trivia.
Oh yeah. It's always a good time.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. We hope you enjoyed the episode tonight. We'll see you guys Wednesday night on our live stream as we talk about the current Chiefs hot topics of the offseason. JD, love you, brother.
Love you too. Love y'all. Y'all be good.
Have a good night, everybody. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.